I found this poem, What Moms Pray at Night. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray my sanity to keep. For if some peace I do not find, I'm pretty sure I'll lose my mind. I pray I find a little quiet, far from the daily family riot. May I lie back, not have to think about what they're stuffing down the sink, or who they're with, or where they're at, and what they're doing to the cat. I pray for time all to myself. Did I hear something fall off the shelf? To cuddle in my nice, soft bed. Oh no, another goldfish is dead. Some silent moments for goodness sake. Ah, I just heard a window break. And that I need not cook or clean. Well, heck, I got it the right to dream. Yes, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my wits about me keep. But as I look around, I know I must have lost them long ago. You guys ever heard the statements that are written about what our mothers teach us? One person said, my mother taught me religion. When I spill grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, you better pray the stain will come out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic when she said these words, because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight when she said, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you are in an accident. My mother taught me about stamina. You sit there till all that spinach is finished. Another one said, my mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. My mom taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a wonderful mother like you. George Bush said in his speech on Mother's Day, mothers are central to the success of the American family. Man. That is a statement we need to repeat over and over again. Mothers are central to the success of the American family. Their love, dedication, and wisdom touch countless lives every day in every community throughout our land. Their love and their guidance of children help to develop healthy and spiritually sound families. Man, Lord, give us that today. We're so messed up as a nation. We have forgotten the significance and the importance of women and mothers. President John Quincy Adams once said, all that I am, my mother made me. President Abraham Lincoln said this, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. I remember my mother's prayers and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. These statements are just a few for the millions of Americans who credit their mothers for helping to successfully shape their life? Have you been successfully shaped by a mother or mother figure in your life? I want to spend just a few minutes talking about some simple ways. I know you're shocked, but I have three simple ways that a mom can be godly, can live a godly life. A godly mom, the first one I want to share with you. A godly mom models her faith. A godly mom models her faith. 2 Timothy 1:15 says, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." These two ladies that are mentioned here in the scripture, they intentionally lived out their faith before their son and their grandson. They lived out a sincere faith. What is a sincere faith? Well, we've seen plenty of the fake faith, haven't we? We've seen plenty of the hypocrisy of saying, "I live by faith," and then watching them do something else. A godly mom is one who lives out her faith before her children, before her family, before others. She shows them that she is sincere. She shows them by the way she responds. She shows them that she has sincere faith. September the 1st, 2004, there was a lady, a mom by the name of Bella in Russia. She prayed for her two daughters at a nearby school. Little did she know that in the next 52 hours, her daughters would face the most defining moment of their lives. Around 30 suicide terrorists stormed her daughter's school. 1,200 people were taken hostage on the first day of school. When the ordeal had ended, Bella was told her two daughters, three nieces, and a nephew did not survive. However, at the funeral, one of the nieces who did survive shared that Bella's daughters spent their last hours teaching others how to pray. They wrote the Lord's Prayer on small pieces of paper and passed them out to others. On one occasion during the ordeal, a terrorist heard them praying in the name of Jesus and told them to stop and pray to Allah. In spite of their reprimand, they continued praying in Jesus' name. Bella lived out her faith before her daughters, her family. And it paid off. It paid off at a critical moment in their life. When they faced death itself, they were focused on others. They were not focused on themselves. They were focused on how they could help these other children that were in the room. How they could help them secure their eternity by the things that they did. That is what a godly mother does. A godly mother is one who shares her faith not just in words, not just "you better do this" or "this is what God wants you to do," but by the way they live. Isn't that why many people have walked away from the church because parents who say that they are believers but don't live out what it means to be believers. They've left because they have seen the superficial side of religion rather than understanding the depth of what it means to live in relationship with God. Are you giving your child faith that overcomes human tendencies, the things that are our natural response to things? Are you giving your child faith to overcome that? Are you giving your family faith that overrides relational dysfunctions? You may have come to know Christ and live for Him older in your life. Are you focused on what you failed to do in the past or what you can give them in the future? Can you model what it means to live by faith? Are you giving your grandchildren faith that overpowers worldly pressures? Man, what our kids need today is to see us living the truth of what God's Word says. They need to see us praying. They need to see us crying out to God. They need to know that we're not feeling like we are a lone ranger. We are asking God for help, because in doing that, we are going to show them sincere faith, genuine faith, the kind that makes a difference for Christ. So, to be a godly mom means to just live out your faith. You don't have to have all the answers, but you know how to lead your children to the answers in their relationship with God. You don't focus your attention on what you have done in the past, but what you have been forgiven of so that you can live free in the future. God didn't die so that we could focus on the past. He died so that we could find freedom in the future He has given to us. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 gives us our second quality. A godly mom serves her family. A godly mom serves her family. Jesus Himself gave to us a model of what it means to be godly. And that is to think about our relationship with God and think about others. Galatians 5:13 says this: "For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." How many times have you seen a person who's living for themselves? Maybe you had a mom who was like that. Maybe you're here today and you kind of wondering what in the world you have to celebrate about. We have the blessing that God has given to us. And when we focus our attention upon that, we live in a way that is going to serve other people. In World War II, during the Holocaust, the lives of millions of people were taken. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons, his mother and father, were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you can do your work, you are permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, then you are exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David. Because David had always been a frail child. Every evening, he would come, walk around the concentration camp, and try to find his family. He searched for the faces of his family, and when he found them, they would huddle together and they would embrace each other and they would thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in a corner, huddled, weeping and praying. He said, Josh, tell me it's not true. Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where's your mother?" asked Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said. "Son," Joshua said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried, 'Mama, there is nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand and went with him." She served her son in those moments. Unbelievable experience. But what was she doing? She wasn't thinking about herself. She was not thinking about all these things that I'm going to miss. She was focused on a child that was afraid in those moments to walk through death. She wasn't afraid. She was ready to face it. Why? Because of her faith, because of her confidence, because she knew where her and David would spend eternity. She wasn't afraid. Proverbs 31:25 says, "This woman, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs." She laughs without fear of the future. She is confident in what God has promised. She is confident in knowing how to walk with Him, and her future is secure because of that reality. Are you serving your family by the way you respond to them? Are you serving your family in daily tasks and ways that prepare them for serving, prepare them to serve others in their life? Are you teaching them by your actions that you love the Lord? Because if we really love the Lord, then we are going to look for ways to serve Him and to honor Him by that service, to acknowledge the blessing He has given to us and pass that on to another. So the second way a godly mom can be a godly mom is by serving her family. The third way I want to share with you is a godly mom prays for her family. I consider myself a very blessed individual because I know my mom prayed for me. I know her prayers made a difference in what I did. They made a difference in the lives of my family because she's passed on a legacy. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous woman. The effective prayer of a righteous woman can accomplish much. When Caroline came into our family, we knew her family from the past. We didn't know her. But when I was growing up, her grandmother, her name's Judy, she was so influential in my life. And after Ryan and Caroline married, Judy shared with Caroline, and she shared it with me through writing Psalm 91, a prayer that my mom had prayed for me time and time again, a prayer of protection, a prayer of watch care, a prayer in which she believed that God, by His power, was going to do something supernatural. She didn't have to do it. She believed God was able to do it and to do it through her. And she prayed time and time again for that to happen. Why is it that we should pray for our family? If you're a mom here today, why do you pray for your family? Do you believe God can watch over them when you can't? Do you believe God can protect them better than you can? Do you believe that God can do more in them when you pray? Give them favor in relationships by your prayer. Give them success when your efforts are exhausted. You can pray. Help them in their learning. Give them favor with the right people in their work, in their family. You can pray for their future spouse. You can pray that God Himself does something supernatural in their life. You may be thinking about your children and thinking to yourself, there's no way they're ever going to turn to God. Don't think like that. I know the impossibility that you can have in your life, but please, my friend, be willing to go before the God who can do anything. That means that God Himself can break the hardness of the heart of your child, whether it's a child or an adult. God is able to do supernatural things. But you and I have to call upon Him. We have to ask Him to do those things. There was a mom by the name of Fern Nichols, and she was the founder and president of Moms in Touch International. Some of you may have participated. Her husband and 10-year-old son, Troy, went on a canoeing trip with a friend to the Fraser River in British Columbia. The river was strong and full from the recent melt-off of the snow-capped mountains. They were discouraged from coming, but went anyway. Fern shares that about mid-afternoon, she was impressed to pray for her husband and son. The impression was so strong, she sat down at the kitchen table and prayed, "Protect them from the evil one." She was praying scriptures, John 17:15. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. Psalm 125, 1 and 2. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Psalm 91, 14. Says, then she proceeded to pray for the friend who has asked them to go and his son. Lord, you know what is happening right now. I ask that you would protect them, keep them safe. Put your arms around them and keep them close to you. Bring them home. I trust you. I will not be shaken. Oh, Lord, bring them home. She said in her journal, it seemed like she had prayed for an hour. Later that evening, Fern received a call from her husband describing the events of the day. He said, the canoe went over and they battled raging and freezing waters for 45 minutes. The first miracle was when they felt ground underneath their feet from a submerged island. But the second one was shortly revealed to them. After getting to the bank, they heard the rotors from a helicopter overhead. Someone had seen the incident and called a rescue team, providing the exact location. Fern prayed, and God answered. You may be here today, and you have so many reasons. The world's telling you, your flesh is telling you, other people are telling you, you're wasting your time. But let me tell you something. It is never a waste of time to cry out to God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. And he can do it in our lives. You know, sometimes God brings us to the end of our efforts so that he can show us what he can do. Mary and Martha's story about their brother Lazarus. If you haven't read that recently, notice one thing that it says in the story. Jesus waited before going to see them. Now, to us that may seem cruel or harsh, but the reality is Jesus wanted to show Mary and Martha, the others that were there, something about himself that they did not know was true. And you know what, my friend? Sometimes we try to solve people's problems. We try to solve our kids' problems. We try to do these things that are necessary, we feel like are necessary in order for them to have an easy life. But we grow through struggles. We grow by working. We grow by laboring. We grow when God brings us to the end of ourself and reveals that is not the end. He has more to do. He has more to accomplish. We can do a lot to help our families, but we cannot do a more effective work than pray for them. Prayer is able to move mountains in our relationships. Prayer can place your child in the right place at the right time. Prayer can bring forgiveness where there's been So much bitterness. Prayer can close the mouths of lions. Prayer can calm the storms in the lives of your children. Prayer can bring healing. And prayer can protect your family when you are not there. So if you desire today to be a godly mom, I want to say this to you first. It is simple in the sense that it's not a complex work. We teach them the ways that are right. You know, Scripture in Proverbs says, train up a child in the way he or she should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. You and I have the ability, God-given ability, to impart the truth of God's Word and to live out our faith in a way that is honoring and pleasing to God and will help our family grow in their relationship. As a godly mom, think of fresh ways that you can serve your children, your family. Maybe you're a grandparent today. Think of godly ways that you can serve your grandchildren. You can serve them. And then thirdly, be a faithful prayer. If you want to be a godly mom, you're going to have help. We can't do it in our own strength, by our own ability. We need the help of God to do those things. For our family, if you're here today, there's a lot about this message. If you are a man here today, that applies to you. You can share faith with your children by the way you live. You can be faithful to serve them. Show them what it means to be a man of God. And if you're here today as a man, you need to be on your knees before God praying for your family. There is great power in that. It's the most effective thing that you and I can do, is to cry out to God on behalf of our family. So, when you look at your life, one of the things we have to do when we compare ourselves, when we set up the plumb line of God's Word, we have to compare whether or not we are in line with that plumb line, that level. Only you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can do that. Only you, by a work of God in your life, by sitting down and by giving God the opportunity to speak to your heart, only He can do that. Only He can help you grow. We can offer suggestions and we can offer advice and we can say, I see this or I see that, but really, what matters is what God thinks. Let's pray together.